We've been walking through this series called Pro Tips from Proverbs, and we're in week 6 of this series, actually. We've been wandering through, recognizing what are the ways that God has shown us how to live in the world that he's given us to live in. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's a book of understanding. It's a book of learning, and it's written by Solomon, who's the wisest man who's ever lived. He asked God for wisdom. God gave it to him. He became famous all around for all of his wisdom, and then he wrote several books, this being the one about teaching you how to live, teaching you what is wisdom in life. And so last week we talked about receiving insults. Did anyone get to practice what we learned last week, get a few insults thrown your way? Well, bless you. God bless you. You got to learn this week. And we talked about just the idea that insults are often, in Scripture even, just happening just before someone actually turns their life around and follows Jesus. So if you got insulted this week, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This week we're going to be talking about something else. Sometimes people throw insults at us. Other times people throw, which is sometimes just as annoying or challenging, advice at us. Anyone ever receive some unmerited advice coming your way? No, sometimes. I just want to read a couple scriptures to you. Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? I like that, by the way. That'll preach. Hey, that's a tweetable. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than them. You see a person wise in their own eyes. Proverbs telling us we need some wisdom in our lives. We need some people investing into us, giving us some advice. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. We all hear advice in our life. We're all receiving it at some point or another. We all know what advice looks like in our life. In fact, many of us have learned to not listen to it because we've just heard it a little bit too much sometimes. Sometimes it's advice that we didn't even know we needed, or maybe we wished we didn't receive in that moment. I remember the first time I had to face the facts that I was losing my hair. It was through some well-meaning advice of a hairdresser. And I've only gotten my hair cut one time from someone other than my mom. My mom's a hairdresser, so it's always been, it went my mom, this one person, and then me. Because after this one person, it was shave time. So I was at the hairdresser, and she goes, can I suggest a shampoo for thinning? And I'm like, oh, I didn't feel like I was that plump, but if I need to thin out... I didn't know shampoo is going to affect my weight loss strategy, but okay. No, she's identifying that my hair was thinning, and I didn't even know it yet. And her advice was to give me this new shampoo for thinning. I don't know if you've ever received advice that you didn't really want. I had another guy more boldly speak into my balding issue, which isn't an issue, by the way. I'm happy with who I am. But he came up to me this one time, and he took a spiritual approach, a spiritual advice move with my balding. And he goes, he's walking at me like he's taller than me, and he's walking at me, and he wants to pray for my bald head. And he's walking at me like this. It's freaking me out. He says, hey, God raised the dead. He can raise your hair follicles. And he was serious. Like, it's sort of like one thing to joke about, ha, 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 yeah, we're praying, nice. But he's like, come on, and he wants to pray for my hair follicles. And I'm like, I don't really care about my hair follicles, to be honest. Like, it doesn't really matter. We've all heard advice from time to time, maybe stuff that we didn't even want. You know, everyone has someone in their family or their close friends who have advice. They're the ones who figure everything out on Google. They do Google diagnoses all the time. And so you're like, oh, yeah. I'm just feeling a little tired. My neck is a little bit sore. And they're like, oh, yeah, common, very common for everyone who has athlete's foot. That's you. It's like, oh, what? I don't see the connection. Like, or someone said, yeah, I'm just feeling tired. Oh, really? Do you have debiculotinitis or what? And that's what it is. All you need is vitamin D 412, and then you're going to be good. Like, where do you find that? Well, in this like plant or this weird thing or this thing that you find somewhere else or this oil or this you just start eating this way or start. Everyone's got advice for how we should live. Everyone wants to tell us that you need to do this and then you'll be good. If you approach life this way, then you'll be sorted out. If you eat this thing, then you'll be set. My wife, with her eating stuff, she sometimes does a Whole30 and loves that. Sometimes she does keto and loves that. Sometimes we do donuts and candy and we love that. And we love them all, but I can see her torn sometimes where she's like, well, which one do I do? Keto, Whole30, keto, Whole30, keto, Whole30, cheese or fruit or whatever. Like one has one has the other. And everyone has the best way for you to live. All you have to do is live this way and you'll have the best life. So we've even learned to ignore advice for the most part. I learned this well when I worked on BC Ferries. I learned that people have stopped listening to the advice of the wet floor sign. People have stopped heeding that warning anymore. So I would have people all the time. It's like I'm mopping, wet floor sign, and people just like, lee dee 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 dee. I think they see the yellow sign and they're like, awesome, check this out. You know, I can do this and I can do all these moves and watch this, how cool am I? And I'd just be mopping the floor just like leave. Go to the other side of the boat or jump off. But I'm bothered right now. I'm trying to mop the floor and get this thing done, and it's not working. And so this one time that I specifically remember, I'm mopping away. I set up one sign here, right at a spot where there was another option for where they could walk. I keep mopping like this, and I put another sign, two signs. Well, someone comes walking along, and I'm mopping, and they're just sort of casually doing their, this is how the arrogant walk, you know, I don't know. Anyways, he passes by the first sign, and he's walking on my freshly wet floor. And I think sometimes people seem to take this as a challenge or something like, hey, Peter walking on water. Look at me go. And so he walks past my first sign. I said, oh, excuse me. It was wet floor. Be careful. You can go that way around. And he looks at me like this. Keeps going on the thing. And I'm like, what? Start using more water. I'm going to get this guy. Look out. Just kidding. I didn't do that. But I wasn't disappointed with the result of what just happened. So as he keeps walking along, he's passed a few signs and things like that. He's just following me. Like I'm cruising along like this. He's like, hurry up, please. And I'm like, I'm going. And all of a sudden, it was the best moment in life. One of them. And he goes, shoo. And falls. And it wasn't like a nice fall, like a flat land on your back or a nice sit down on the bum. It was like somewhere in between that where you sort of land and your head sort of does one of these. And it looked like he was really hurt. I was so happy. It was awesome. I'm just kidding. He actually got up and that he got up. And I remember the very moment because I'm sitting like, I'm doing one of these. This is so funny. I can't believe it. And he looks up at me like this, like, and he just walks off. And I'm like, is this guy actually blaming this on me? Like, I verbally said, watch out. I've put like three signs. He knocked over two signs just falling over for pizza. This guy cannot blame this on me. It's just the type of guy who's going to blame. He's going to blame me wetting the floor and slipping on it, or me leaving the floor and him slipping on the dust. That didn't like. It's just one of those guys. They like complaining. But we've learned to avoid advice. We don't want to listen to it. We don't want to hear about it anymore. We don't want to hear people give us all of their thoughts on things. We're tired of that, and we've learned to avoid it to some extent, or accept it to some extent, or we'll take this, or we'll take that, and we'll put it all through our filter, and we'll allow it to make us who we're going to be. But we have learned to decide, I'll take some advice, and I won't take some advice, and I will be the decision maker. I will decide which advice is worthwhile and which stuff is not. But Proverbs isn't just talking about advice. It's not just talking about why don't you listen to advice or not listen to advice. Proverbs is also talking about advisors. And there's a difference. There's a lot of people that will give you advice, but I wonder how many of us actually have advisors in our life. People who are more than just advice, but people whose advice we give authority to. We allow their advice to actually mean something to us. We allow their advice to actually shift something in us. See, we also have a problem with authority often. Or we think no one else should be able to tell me what I should or shouldn't do unless I want them to. I'll let them give me advice, but I'm not going to change my life unless I want to, or it makes sense to me, or I feel good about it in that moment. Because up until that point, I don't want to just be told what to do. I have a problem with authority, right? Many of us are in that spot. We don't want someone just to be able to tell us what to do because we think we're probably the expert. On ourselves, on the world, on how stuff works, on how everything functions. And so we say, I don't want advisors who I'd actually give authority to. I don't want to empower someone to have a voice in my life that I actually listen to. Instead, I'll just take some advice and accept what I want and put away what I don't want because I am the final authority in my life. I am the expert. I know how things work and I can handle myself. I heard a good... There's this funny guy on Instagram named John Christ, and he recently had an Instagram I love. He's talking about sort of this concept of lately how people just feel like the experts in the world so easily. And it says, 2008, goes to school, completes internship, finishes residency, takes entry-level job, undergoes years of training, publishes research, writes book, becomes expert. That's 2008. Then he says, 2018, watches documentary, becomes expert. I love that. It's like there's this new sense that we all think that we're the experts of all things, including how this world works and ourselves. That I always know how to make the best decisions for myself. I always know the right thing to do for myself. I always know how I should behave. I always know what's going to propel me forward. And the Bible actually doesn't say that. It never suggests that. The Bible doesn't give us the hint that we always will know the right thing to do. The Bible actually, and Solomon, and Proverbs actually says, you shouldn't just always rely on yourself, but instead you need advisors in your life. In fact, if you have no advisor, you'll get no wiser. Hello. There's the one. We're not going to grow a lot if we don't have those advisors, because advisors show up and have authority in our lives to speak to us in such ways that we'll actually listen and change the way that we live. Proverbs 13:10 says, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Not in those who hear advice, in those who take advice, in those who actually do something because of what they hear, and those who actually shift the way they live because of what they hear. Wise people have advisors, and advisors are given authority and pulled close into you. Even the word authority, some of us cringe at. No, no. Someone shouldn't get a say in my life that has power. The Bible is very, very against that concept and says you very much should have someone in your life who has some authority to speak into your life for the moments when you're not making good decisions. And I think based on what I see in Proverbs and sort of just what I've been looking at and considering, I believe there's sort of three stages of authority that you can sometimes let someone have. That an advisor for you will have authority over stage one, stage two, or stage three, depending on what you've allowed. And all of us will have some people who we allow to have some authority in our lives to probably stage one, but many of us don't go beyond that very far. And I'm going to talk about what those are. The first one, the first level of authority that we give to people is we allow them to teach us or to instruct us. So likely you have someone in your life that you've allowed to just teach you something. That you sit down and consider what's wise, and before you make a choice, that's the person that you go and ask, hey, what do you think? Oh, what should I do with this? How should I handle this circumstance? What would you consider the wise move here? Maybe you ask what's biblical, and so you ask that person, and many of us have someone like that. Someone that we have given them authority in that early stage of a decision, that we've given them the authority to talk about hypotheticals, what would be the right way to move, what would be the right way to go. Teach me what you know. Instruct me on where I should go. At this point, many of us have people like that. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. It's wise to heed instruction. Proverbs 13:13 says, whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. It's worth it to listen to a thought and a command, and many of us would have people like that in our lives. They say something, and we're going to hear it and appreciate it and reconsider the direction that we go. I worked in youth ministry for a bunch of years, and I got to spend a lot of time with young people as they were growing and developing and learning and all sorts of things. One of the biggest topics that's constantly on the forefront with young people is relationships. We're always talking about relationships, and many young people drew me into this stage with them. Hey, Pastor Evan, can we just talk about it? I'm really considering sort of getting out in the dating field, and I'm thinking about that. There's this girl I really like, and she's really cool and nice, and I haven't met her yet. She sits over there, but I like her. I've known her for like 10 minutes, or we just had one conversation, or all of her friends are really nice, so she must be too, or whatever it might be. So they'll come up to me and say, "Hey, what do you think? I'm thinking about maybe like starting to date this girl. Can you tell me what would be a wise way of going about that?" And I'll say, "Okay, well, yeah, so you say you've known her for 10 minutes. That's good. You've been broken up with your last girlfriend for 11. Might be some time for healing, might be necessary here. Plus, that last one didn't go so well." I actually remember one guy came to me and he said, "Evan, I need to not, he was in grade 10, he said, "I need to commit to not dating anyone until I'm graduated high school." Because he was in grade 10, he already had a big damaged past and had a bunch of broken relationships. So he said, "This is what I need to do. Is that a wise decision?" I said, "Absolutely. High school is confusing. It's weird. Everyone, you don't even know. It's a weird little world that is challenging to navigate. So absolutely, carry on." I had lots of people pull me in on that stage. And so I'd have someone say, "You know, should I do this? Not? No, let's hold off." "Okay, sounds good. And thank you. I'm so glad I talked to you. You're so wise. That's so great." Next week, they walk in with their new girlfriend. "Hey!" Actually, usually weren't. They're like, "Oh, come on, quick, get in. The first stage is pretty common. People allow you in on that first stage of authority, that instruction or teaching stage. The second one is not as common. People don't often let you in, and maybe you haven't let anyone in at the rebuking stage. The stage where you've given someone authority to not only be part of the decision process before you make the decision, but also to be part of the process when you've messed up on that decision. When you're not living the life that you committed to, or you're not following through on the stuff that you felt like you should follow through on, when you're not doing the things that you're supposed to do, or you said you were going to do, or you decided were wise for you, do you have someone in your life that has the authority? Do you have an advisor in your life that has the authority to say, "Hey, stop what you're doing. Stop living that way. We just talked about this. You told me this is what wisdom looks like. I said that was a good decision. I pointed you in that direction. Now you're living this way. Stop it." Do you have someone like that in your life? Often we only let someone in at the beginning stages. I think of a financial advisor, you know? Say, "Hey, financial advisor, listen, we're in a real mess. You know, we're broke. Our debt is crazy. It's out of hand. We don't know what to do with it. We're trying to manage this stuff, but we're worried that we're not going to get out of this one. And can you help us?" Financial advisor sits down, suggests a few things. They make a plan together. They say, "This plan is great. You just have to walk this out. And in the next 5 years, you're going to have a real different story. And so let's commit to it. Let's walk it together." And like, "Oh, you're so wise. We so appreciate you." They give enough authority to hear the teaching, to listen to the teaching, even affirm the teaching. But then they go home and wandering online, and this vacation special comes up, or these nice new clothes show up, or actually it's hard to even look at the clothes because their computer's going slow, so they have to get a new computer, and all of a sudden they've got all this stuff, and they're like, well, you know what, that was good advice, but really there's a lot of needs in our life, so we can't really follow through. The advisor shows up and said, "Hey, what are you doing? We had a plan. Stop spending like crazy." And usually at that point, they come on. "We'll come to you when we have more problems again." Because we like the teaching, but we don't like the rebuking. Do you have someone in your life that is allowed to rebuke you? Or if anyone in your life comes up to you and rebukes you, are you shunning them, getting them out of your life? "I need this person, God. They're mean. They're rude. They don't understand me. They don't know what I'm going through. They don't understand what I'm facing. I'm facing a lot right now. I'm trying to carry a lot. Yo, that friend should be the closest one to you in that point. They should be the one who's straightening you out at that point, because we're all going to have moments in our lives when our feelings want to do something that our brains and our spirits haven't decided we should do. Our feelings take over and they lead, or our desires take over and they lead. We want this thing or we want that thing. And so I'm just going to go after it. I know myself and I know me and I know what I should have. And I know what God would want if he wanted the best for me, because I want it. So I must be able to go and get that thing. You need an advisor. And that time we said, stop it. What are you doing? That's not your best you. You've gotten confused. You've gotten lost. You've gotten messed up in the moment. Proverbs 13:1 says, a mocker does not respond to rebukes. They don't respond. Say, nah, forget it. And so the stages of authority that you give to an advisor in your life, first one is teaching. Will you let them teach you? Second one is rebuking. Will you let them rebuke you? And the third one is correcting. You have someone in your life that you will allow to correct you. This is different than rebuking. I would have that conversation with a young person who's thinking about dating someone. Like, you know what? My history's not good, and I haven't known this girl long, and I'm actually pretty broken, and I'm going through a lot. Should I date her? No, you shouldn't right now. You're not in a good place. Okay, sounds good. Next week, they show up dating. I can rebuke and say, hey, hold up a second. You're not doing well, just like we talked about last week. You're struggling. You're in blah, blah, blah. All of this stuff. You know what? Good word, Pastor. I really appreciate what you say. I receive that rebuke. I love the Christian lingo that comes up in these moments. I receive that rebuke. You know, I will allow that to absorb into my soul, or whatever you might say. And we say, oh, I get it. I hear you. That makes sense. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it. I receive your rebuke. And then they turn around and carry on the same life. That means you've given them authority to rebuke you, but no authority to correct you. Their word isn't going to correct your life. Their word isn't going to change your direction. Their word doesn't have any power to shift who you are. You will be who you want to be at the end of the day. You haven't given your advisor the authority to change how you live. You've given them the authority to voice their opinion and to rebuke you when you're not in that place, and you're going to be fine. But you're going to carry on doing whatever you want, even if it's the wrong thing for your life, because you haven't given someone the authority to correct you. Proverbs 15:12 says, mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. I've seen this all the time. I'm not saying I'm the wise, but with the youth sometimes. And they'd come in and just sort of like, oh, don't worry, let's just go over here and let's not worry about it, because they know that it's not like I'm saying, excuse me, you're supposed to do this, this, and this. It's me saying, look, you said you wanted to do this, 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 and this. I'm here to advise you on that, help you, walk with you. And instead they avoid. That sounds too hard. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. You know that we all need correction. If you don't, you're God. We all need correction. That's a good place to start for us. Because as soon as you decide you don't need correction, you're either God or foolish. Those are the two options. If you say, no, I'm good, I'm everything that I need to be, and I'm perfect, and I can figure this out, and I'm all sorted, and I don't need any correction, you're either God or you're foolish. You've decided that you're God, and you're perfect, and everyone should bow to you, and you've got it all figured out, or you're foolish, and you've just decided that you don't care, you're not interested, you don't want to hear from it. So those who will listen to correction will be at home among the wise. You're not wise if you're not being corrected. If you don't have anyone who's allowed to correct you, you're not wise. You say, no, I am wise because I have so little to be corrected. No, being corrected is the wisdom. It's not how much you know. It's not how much experience you have. It's your correct ability. It's the ability that you have to welcome your advisor's opinions, to welcome their thoughts, to welcome their authority. That is what makes you wise. It's not about knowing as much as you can. It's about continuing on the journey of being corrected and transformed and having your life shifted. If you're not doing that, then you're saying you're done and you're God. Correction is a good thing in Proverbs. And many of us don't have anyone who we'd give enough authority to in our life to correct us. Proverbs 10:17 says, whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. We might say, you know what? I hear what you're saying. I appreciate the instructions you've given me. I appreciate even the rebuke, even though it felt a little hard. But at the end of the day, I'm going to carry on doing what I want to do, and I'm going to do this thing. And as you're going and doing that, you think it doesn't hurt anyone. It's all just me. It doesn't really matter. Actually, it does. Proverbs says, you lead everyone else astray who sees you. Oh, that's how I'm supposed to live my life? Okay. I'll live that way. Who wouldn't follow you? Who wouldn't want to follow you if you get to live a carefree life and never have to correct anything and never have to fix anything and never have to become anything? You just exist, and it's easy, and it's no problem, and it's fun. Of course everyone's going to want to follow you. But Proverbs says that you need someone in your life who's going to say, but there's a better way. Let's walk together in that direction. Worship team, you can come up. Come on up and join me. Some of you say, I don't really have that person in my life. I don't have someone who's doing that for me. I don't know who that would be. Paul talks about this a little bit at one point. In 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, Paul's a guy who's had his life drastically impacted by God. And he's got a young guy that he's developing and growing and shaping, and this guy has sort of allowed him to become an advisor for him. And Paul, in this chunk of scripture, reminds Timothy of the direction that he's called to go in his life. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Because you know those from whom you learned it. In other words, I don't know if Timothy's sort of straying away or saying, you know what, I don't really need to worry about this anymore, Paul, or I'm tired of living this life. It's kind of hard. I'd rather go live the easy life that everyone else is living. Like me trying to share about the gospel and being ridiculed for it. So that's kind of tiring. I don't know if he was in that place or not, but Paul says, hey, just carry on. Keep going. This is not you. This is you. Let's go. You remember who I am, right? You remember what I've done, right? You remember how we've walked together, right? You remember we've dreamt about this life. You remember that we've talked about all the things that you could do for God. Okay, keep going because you remember who I am and I'm advising you just like you said I could. Keep going, Timothy. That because you know from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul says, Timothy, you should keep going because I, your advisor, who you have given authority to, I say you should keep going. But then Paul carries on to the next part, which I think is probably more important in this portion of Scripture. He says, but also because you know the Bible. Timothy, don't you remember? You've read the Bible. You've spent time in it. You've learned from it. You've grown in it. You've experienced it. You've seen some of the things that God has done. You know all about it. So if nothing else is going to cause you to continue to live the life that God has called you to, let it be your wisdom and understanding of what he's already shown you through his word. Some of us have advisors in our life, and we've given them a lot of authority, and they should never have had that authority. Some people, you've just, oh yeah, of course I have people that can teach me and rebuke me and correct me. I live my life this way, and these people advise me, and it's great. And you actually, if you were to read the Bible, it would actually contradict. Maybe you have advisors that you've openly welcomed to direct your life, and it's caused you to not be able to read the Bible because you're like, I can't look at that and listen to them, and so I better listen to them. Paul's basically saying, Timothy, I think of myself as a pretty good advisor. I'm living my life for Jesus. I'm following him. I'm doing these things. So if nothing else, remember me and remember what I'm trying to accomplish and remember that I believe in you. But you also know the scripture. And so if I'm contradicting that, you follow that. And it says, all scripture. Here's what Paul says about all scripture. He says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, if you don't have an advisor in your life, Paul says the Bible gets to do that. So does the Bible have authority in your life to teach you? Probably most people in this room would say, yeah. If I read the Bible, I'll allow it to shape my thoughts and shape the direction of my life. Yeah, I think that's probably true. Have you given the Bible the authority to rebuke you? In other words, when you're living a certain way and you open the Bible and the Bible is starting to say, actually, that's not how we're going to do things and you're living the wrong way, have you given the authority to the Bible to do that? Because we go off in all sorts of different tangents, and not just people outside of the church. People within the church go off on some bizarre, more bizarre tangents probably than the world. We get lost in stuff. We want to read the Bible a certain way. We want it to fit. We just, instead of listening to the Bible, we get in little groups and clusters and talk about, maybe how about this, and let's do this thing, or hate on these people, or really reject that, or really follow into this. But when you read the Bible, are you allowing it to rebuke your thoughts? Have you given it that level of authority? Is it an advisor to you, or is it nice advice to you? If you want to live your life, try this. No, it didn't work. No worries. Throw it out. Or as an advisor, you said, I want to know the Bible and I'll allow it to rebuke me if I need rebuking. And then the last one, have you given it the authority to correct you? Does the Bible have enough authority in your life that you would be walking in this way? It would rebuke you. You'd recognize the errors in your way and you would actually turn and walk the other way. Does it have that authority in your life as an advisor or advice? I want to encourage you, it's summertime. In summertime, often things slow down or change pace or whatever it is. And I just want to encourage you, you should read this. You should read the Bible. We all go to church, we're all here, you're all here right now, but many of us just never touch the Bible because we think, well, it doesn't mean much, it doesn't help us much. Paul, who's one of the greatest missionaries of all time, one of the greatest leaders within the Bible, actually says that the Bible is God-breathed, and it's still God-breathed, it's still God's breath on you. He wants to teach you. The Bible wants to rebuke you. The Bible wants to correct you and give you a way to live. But do you even read it? And have you given it authority? I want to encourage you this summer. Give it a shot. Read the Bible. Start into it. Just start going through it. Maybe start with the New Testament and pour through that and then read into the Old Testament, or else jump in with our, we have a group that has a Facebook group and meets every second week over the Bible, looking at the Bible, considering it. They're reading through the Bible in a year. Maybe read with them. Maybe take some time. Grow in it. Learn what the Bible has to say, because if you don't have advisors in your life, or your advisors in your life are not leading you in the correct direction, the Bible will help you. It will advise you, teach you, rebuke you, and correct you. And when we give it that authority, God is going to do some great things in our lives. So I just want to say, do that in the summer. I want to pray for you just for that purpose, that you might enter the fall filled with good advising from the Bible in your life. Lord, help us. It's easy for us to get thinking the Bible is this crusty old book that doesn't mean anything. It's also easy for us to read a particular chunk of scripture that we don't understand and it feels offensive, or it feels like it just doesn't line up with our culture. We can't grasp it, and so we throw out the whole thing. But Lord, would you just allow us to give a good shot, a good effort at understanding the book that Paul says is God-breathed and is good for teaching, rebuking, and correcting our lives. Help us to give it the authority that it needs in our lives to shape the way we live. God, would you allow us not to live as our own gods? Give us the grace to live not as our own gods, but as people needing your grace and your correction and your love. Thank you, Jesus, that you never stopped loving us, giving us the chance to learn Advise us well, Lord. Give us people in our lives that will advise us well. Help us, Jesus. In your name we pray. Anyone who believes it says, amen. Amen. Well, have a great Sunday. Enjoy the sunshine. Have a great week. Go read your Bible. If you don't have one, we'll get one for you. We'll put it in your hands. We'd love for you to dig into this thing and learn what God has to say to you. Love you.
In our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever.
Coming family, have a great week and we'll see you next week.
Trust the Father.